Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we are at war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. We are at war. And we as black folks need to start standing up and doing the things that need to be done. But here's the question of the day. Have black folks became the new KKK with all the drive-by shooting, all the black-on-black crimes? And look, don't try to justify it by saying white folks doing the same thing. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. We're not talking about white folks. We're talking about black folks, you see. And this is how we justify it. White folks doing that too. But white folks is not black folks. You see, that's the problem. So we need to start thinking about black folks. What can black folks do? What are we going to do to stop all this mess? You know. Yeah, we need to get to work immediately on this problem, because it is out of control. And here's the thing. Don't never underestimate the power of stupid people. In a large crowd, in a large city, in a small city, a small crowd, don't underestimate the power of stupid people. You see, that is one of the problems that we face today. And remember this, not everything that is faced can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it's faced. That's important. And we're dealing with evil, wicked people. You see, they use the media to make them look like they're right, they're the good guys, and you're the bad guys. They use the media for this. And it's like this for years. You see, they have even tried to make Trump look like he was a good guy, knowing that he was a low-life scumbag, knowing that, a racist, a real racist, you see, a real racist. But they give him a pass. They say things about him, but what they say really don't make a whole lot of sense. That's why he has such a large following. See, his whole thing is on racism. And this is one of the most racist countries in the whole wide world. They ain't no ifs, ands about it. They try to talk about Iran, they execute people for protests and stuff like that. This country executes you in a different way, you see. But that's how it is. See, talk is cheap, but it is a way for us to organize. We got to start organizing for war, because we're at war, because they're compiling all kinds of weapons. We got weapons now, but we're going to run out of bullets, because we're killing each other. That's just the way it is. We are running out of bullets. We're so busy killing each other over nothing. And that white devil got his foot off our butts, and we ain't saying a mumbling word. But here's the thing. When I talk about talk is cheap, it is. We're the talkingest people there is in the world. That's right. We talk, no action. And then here's the bad part about black people. Black people don't want to see you do nothing. They want you to maintain that slave mentality. They want you to maintain that slave mentality. That's what they want to do. They want you to tame that slave mentality. You see, the question of the day is, black folks are the new KKK. True or false? Black folks, now listen closely. I don't want nobody to misinterpret what I'm saying. Black folks are the new KKK. Is that true? Is that true or is it false? I'm putting it in the chat. I'm trying to answer these guys' questions. They want to know. They want to know. So I'm trying to answer that question right now. Black folks are the new KKK, true or false? You answer that. You answer that because I think it's important. I think, you know, what we're doing right now, I don't even know the reason why we're doing it. I can't think of a reason why we should be out here killing each other over nothing. You looked at me, you know. Oh, I'm going to retaliate because you shot Joe Blow. That was my cousin. So I'm going to kill you and go to jail for the rest of my life. I'm going to do that. I can't bring Joe Blow back, but I can kill you and go to jail for the rest of my life. Do that make sense to you? But they got us thinking this. This is how they have attacked us, you know. And it's unfortunate, though, you know. I said this, and I've been saying this for a little while, and women, you know, you cannot raise a young man to be a man. You can't do it. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it. Because there are certain qualities that a man has that he has to pass on to his son. And same with your daughter. A man cannot raise a young lady. Well, he raised you a young lady. He said, well, my dad raised me. Well, there are certain qualities that you're missing. And it goes along with the young man, too. And I think that is very, very important. See, they got women thinking they don't need a man, you know, with the way the world is today. You don't need a man, you see. He ain't gonna, but what you do, you need a real man. That's the problem. You, even if those are not his children, you need a real man to show your children, if they're young men, how to be a man. That's right. You need a man in that house. And if you don't have a man in that house, then your son is going to be missing a lot of good things that he should have learned. You know, and I mean a good man. I don't mean a guy that's out here doing everything, you know, want to be with the boys and all this kind of stuff. Come home drunk and punish the wife. Because he's drunk, you know what I'm saying? Knock her around because he's drunk. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person who got scruples, who cares about the household as a whole. You see? And to me, that's important. In order to get things done, you have to care. When you don't care, this is what happens. You see, but we have to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do to enhance our children. You see, we can no longer sit back and not take care of our children. We're going to become extinct pretty soon. You got the police killing us. You got the courts killing us. Oh, yeah. The court was killing us, but they wasn't killing us fast enough. So he had to come up with a new thing. They enhanced and empowered the police to start killing us. And that wasn't being done fast enough. So now they empowered our youth by flooding our community with guns. That's what they have done. They have flooded our community with guns. And we don't even realize the effect it has on each and every one of us, you know. Here's the thing. You go out and shoot my cousin. Now I'm going to go shoot your cousin. Now his other cousin gonna go to shoot another one of my cousins. And then both of them gonna come and shoot me, or either I'm gonna go to jail for murder. All three of us gonna be in jail for murder. You know, they have a plan, and they're executing their plan. And it's unfortunate that we allow them. See, people here, I said this. Now, listen to me closely. This is really, really some important information. I said that 3% of the black people were ghettoish. I said that. I didn't know what I was thinking. It's obvious I had not been around the country, or was not, when I went, I didn't go to the ghetto area or where black folks were. Then I discovered, no, it's a little bit higher than 3%. It's at 5%. I said this. It's at 5%. Then I went again. Then I said, it's 15%. Now, 15% of 50 million, that's a lot of people, you see. But that wasn't it either. I went again to speak. I said, now it's 20 million. 20 million of the black folks is ghettos. That's straight up. That's, you know, that's with no shame. That's 20% of all the black folks. I get, you know, so that's just the way it is, whether we like it or not, you know. And you know, that don't mean that, you know, that what I'm saying have to be accurate. It's not, you know, it may not be accurate the way it is. And you could take it or leave it. But it's not even 20%. It's about 25%. At least 25%. I get a wish. You see, that's the truth. 25%. I get a wish. Or more. But I'm going to do another survey and see what I can come up with during this period of time, because I think it's important, you see. I think it's important that we understand us. See, a lot of times we don't understand us, you know. And I hate to say this, you know, because I love my black women. I love them. And I love my black brothers and sisters. But you have been instituted into a burning building, because if so many of us don't teach our children the proper information to make them successful. We out here partying. What they doing now? Some got a dance. They out here doing. They doing it all on TV. You got white folks doing the dance. We think it's all right. It's not all right. You see. The question is, are we the new black folks? Are black folks the new KKK? That's the question. Are black folks the new KKK? I know that we have been traumatized, you know, for over, listen to me closely, for over 450 years. I use that word over. The many years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, the hanging. You know, they used to hang a whole family. They hang the father, the mother, and if they have five children, they'll hang all five children. And nobody goes to jail. Not one single person goes to jail. Because at that time, remember, you was property. Even today, you consider property. They could send you to prison with no charge just because you're black and claim that there was no constitutional violation. None. But if you white, it's a whole different story. You see, we don't get that. Our minds are not computed to understand that kind of talk. You see, and they don't see most black folks ain't gonna tell the truth. They gonna skip and dab and ain't gonna it's not gonna call a spade a spade. They're not gonna do that because they scared these white folks gonna come after you. They gonna come after you anyway, dummy. That's what they do. They going to come after you anyway. And when I talked about how they hang a whole family, how do you hang a little six-year-old boy and think it's okay? An eight-year-old boy, a nine-year-old boy, a 10-year-old girl. Like I said, they go to church at 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock, get out of church at 1 o'clock, get their lunch together and go and hang a whole family. Nobody go to jail. And then we got the nerves to want to be like these devils. Something is wrong with us. I'm going to tell you the truth. Thinking that these people like you, they don't like you. If they can't use you, they don't want you around. Know that. That's a fact. That's a fact. And then let me talk about the women. How they used to rape the women. And nothing the husband can do. Ain't nothing you can do. If that man in that big house wants to come and sleep with your wife, there's not a thing in this world you could do. Nothing. Nothing. If he wanted to put a whip on her right in front of you, there's nothing you could do. There's nothing you can do. It's even today. They're doing the same thing today, but they're just doing it differently. They got some new tools in their toolbox, and they are utilizing those tools. And here's another thing. A lot of you people don't, especially black folk, because they don't really talk about it. They used to rape the men, too. They used to rape the men just like they raped the women. And there's nothing you can do. You know, you're property. You belong to them. And the children. If they wanted to rape your little eight-year-old girl, six-year-old girl, five-year-old girl, they could do it and there's no penalty. Because at that time, you was property, strictly property. So they, think about this, they raped your wife, then they take the wife out, rape her, go and get the husband, rape the husband, and then come and rape the children. And that's why they don't want this critical race theory. They don't want people to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. They don't want that. They're doing everything in their power to keep this from happening. They don't want people to know the truth. And black folks don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the truth because if they know the truth, they got to do something. Black people don't even want to do. All they want to sit back and say what somebody else is doing. And they'll come after you, black folks. So now you got white folks coming at you. You got black folks coming at you. You got these Iranians, them Indians. You got them all coming after you. You know, Arabs, Chinese, Japanese, everybody coming after the black man. And the black man coming after the black man. What kind of mess is this going on today? You know, we may look like people of no hope, but God has chosen us. We are the chosen one. You know, even though, this is important, we have been robbed of ourselves. A lot of us don't even know who we are. They have no idea. They don't even have a clue that we're 50 million strong. All right, so what? It's 25% of us is ghettoish. So what? We still got 75%. But don't let that 25% become 75%. We only have 25%. They have robbed us of ourselves. But here's the question of the day. And look, everybody can tune in on that. I'm going to tune in. I'm going to let a few people talk. I'm going to bring in my good friend, Dr. Tucker Red. And we're going to talk about, you know, Is the black folks the new KKK? That's the question. So right now, we're killing each other at a mass. And don't tell me white folks doing the same thing. We're not talking about white folks. We're talking about black folks. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear nobody talking about white folks doing this. No, we're not talking about and black people always trying to justify some of the evil, wicked things that we do. And I understand, slavery and racism is two of the main ingredients that have caused this. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. We got to do it. When I went and spoke at Cornell University, see, they never heard a black man talking like that. They're not used to people talking like that and not caring. They don't care about it. You know, oh, wow. You know, that's the greatest speech I ever heard. And no, it's not. I just gave it to you like you never had it. And when I get to Princeton, they're going to get the same treatment. When I get to the University of Pennsylvania, they're going to get the same treatment. When I get to Harvard, they're going to get the same treatment. All of them going to get the same identical treatment, and I might just give them the same speech. I don't know yet. Depends on how I be feeling. But they're going to get it. They're going to get it with no added cream. You know, they're going to get it. Because I'm not going to let no one off the hook. I'm concerned about the future of our children. And if we don't get out here and fight for them, we are going to become a dying race. All what they've been trying to do. They've been trying to do this for over 500 years now. And they have came up with a formula to dilute us like nothing before. Every time you look on TV, they show us shooting, killing people, robbing people. So the world will see. And it's not just for people here in the United States. It's not just for people in Michigan. It's not just for people in Missouri. It's not for people just in Louisiana. It's for people around the world to see us. That's the token. There's some folks right now on this land from UK. That's right. Finland. That's right. Denmark. Denmark, too. I see Denmark. We got folks from all over because they are not accepting what these white folks are saying. But listen, I'm bringing my first guest, Red. And we're going to talk about a little bit about is the black folks the new KKK. Now, I'm just saying this. You know, I want everybody to give their own opinion because that's what's important. Give me your opinion. Don't ride on what I say, you know. But let's take it from there. Let's bring in my good friend, the one and only, my man, Dr. Tucker, known as Red. And I, you know what? And this guy was a true soldier too. He's out there fighting. He's fighting and fighting and fighting and trying to make things happen. And yeah, it's difficult. It's a difficult thing because your own people, you know, black folks, you have just as many black people against you as you do white people. You know, and I know you probably people don't know, don't think, no, they ain't gonna. Yes, they are. Black folks are just as much against you as white. Matter of fact, they riding with the white guy. You see, if a war broke out between black and white, you gonna have some of them on the white side. Dr. Tucker, talk to me. Talk to me, Red. Tell me what's really going on.
How you doing, Reverend Pinkney?
Hey, I'm doing
how
great,
you doing,
man.
Reverend?
I'm doing great. Always, just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking.
Good. It's always good to hear you talk and attempt to wake up our people. And everything you said is true. I think, you know, we got to go back to, well, actually before slavery, when we had great empires and civilization. We were a people that were productive and had kings and queens. In fact, even the system they got today in the United States of America, they stole it from us and took it from our ancestors, you know, and yet we don't understand our history. But you were talking about the issue of slavery, what they did in slavery. One thing our people don't, many people understand, but they don't want to accept it. The impact of slavery is still felt today. And most people want to put their head in the sand and pretend like it doesn't exist. But slavery divided our families. And from there, they came up with Jim Crow laws and segregation and all kind of things, Reverend, you know what I mean, to divide us. So part of the problem we're dealing with is directly a result of slavery in terms of how it divided us and had us fighting against each other, and we're still doing that today, as you talked about. So it's important for us to understand the system, and it's important for us to understand for us to know our history. But most importantly, Reverend Pinkney, I think we have got to create our own system. And when I say that, we've got to create our own terms. For example, we are being misled by people say they're progressive supporting us. They claim that they are liberal supporting us. And even some conservatives say they are supporting our black folks. But the truth is we must deal with black people and white people who are conscious. And the new word for black people should be conscious. And that is people understanding and aware of what's going on and willing to stand up and fight for our cause. Because, you know, it has not always been black folks fighting. We've always had conscious people, white folks and people from all walks of life, working with us to improve and make this a better country. So it's important that we do that. We also, Reverend Pinkney, we must understand that it's important to understand, Reverend Pinkney, the things that influence us. You know, we watch too much television. We watch too much, listen too many radio programs. And, of course, the social media is really controlling our people's minds. And, of course, the school system, the American school system is probably the worst of everything because they don't teach us about our history. And it's up to us to teach our people about our history. And that leads us to where we are today in 2023. You know, they made Juneteenth a holiday in 2021, and then a few years, I think 2005, they made it National Caribbean Heritage Month. And Reverend Pinkney, I think we must take advantage of these so-called holidays that they want us to celebrate and use the holidays to educate our people about the real history, about who we are. And this shouldn't be about a party in the park. It should be about providing resources to help our people, number one. And number two, educating our people about Juneteenth and what it's all about. And most people actually believe that the last slaves were free in Texas on June 19th, 1865. And that's the biggest lie I've ever been told. And I tell those people to read and study their history because Mississippi didn't free adopt the 13th Amendment, I believe, in 1993 or 95, one or 2 years, but you can look that up. And that's why we have so many issues there, because we were misled and miseducated. And so it's important for us to read more and know our history, Reverend Pinkney. And I can't stress that enough.
No, absolutely. Let me, you know, here's one of the weapons that they're using against us today. They are miseducating our children. They won't, you know, I think we no longer, they teach critical thinking in schools, you know. I know when I went, you know, one of the things I was fortunate to go to this school in Chicago, and they taught critical thinking. You know, they taught how you should think on certain things, and it was more of a positive thing than a negative. I think it set the pattern for who I am today, you know, because when I was going to that school, the whole school used to follow me and my two brothers home. They was all white folks. And I mean, when I say the whole school, I mean the whole school. They was, you know, we were about four blocks away from the school, and they all used to walk behind us, the whole school. And but I learned from stuff like that. You know, it helped me to think about, you know, my thinking. And then I wanted to be the best student that I could be because of these evil, wicked people, you see. But I think the school system today is executing a plan in our community to help destroy our children. You talk to me about it because you're a former teacher. You know, talk to me.
Well, the truth of that thing is that we cannot rely on, as Malcolm X would say, our oppressors or our enemies to educate our children. We have to create a system to educate our children and teach them how to act and how to behave. And that's the challenge we face today because, you know, the truth is, like I said earlier, we cannot rely on our enemies to educate our children. And that's what we've done. When you have teachers who are members of Ku Klux Klan and hate groups, and you got them in front of our kids hating them, how in the world can they be in a positive environment that's going to uplift their spirit and encourage them to read and write? And that's what we did, not only in the school system but in the community. You know, you go to a doctor, you know, you go to a policeman come to your house. A lot of those guys are part of hate groups, and you don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Judges, everybody. Yeah. So, you know, we have got to create a system that's going to work for us. And there's nothing against the system they have. I mean, they can keep that system on as long as they want to. But the truth is we have to solve our problems. We have to come up with solutions for our problems in our community.
But that's how, Dr. Tucker, that's how they got us. See, they're thinking that we're doing this for you. You see, they got black people thinking, and we got black people who want to be just like these white devils. They want to be just like them. And like this one guy, the mayor here, I've been to the White House. I've been to that's the greatest thing in his life. His children's birth is the greatest thing that you ever had. But he never be with his children. His wife has to raise all 70 children by herself. But I'm saying this to say we got to stop thinking that these people are false. And like you said, it's systematic. It's the system. This whole system is rotten, and it's rotten to us. And we keep wanting to be part of it. I say, no, I don't want to be part of this rotten system ever again. All the lies and the betrayal, you know, all the abuse and mistreatment they do to black folks, you know. And we sitting around trying to be just like them. We got some sick folks. Mental illness is here, doctor. Let me say this. I talk about how, you know, years ago, how we was property, you know. That's why nobody went to jail for hanging a black person or hanging a whole black family. Nobody, if the owner of the property didn't say nothing to say it. You see, even today, you know, with the police killing, you know, it's okay for a white cop to kill a black person in their eyesight. And we don't say nothing. But look, I want to talk about that prosecutor you had down there in Missouri. Tell us a little bit about, tell us that story so people know exactly what we're talking about.
Well, Reverend Pinkney, we had a Kim Gardner, who was a African-American prosecutor, and we have them all over the country. And, of course, when you're doing the right thing, they don't want you to do the right thing. But she was about transformation. She was not sending our youth to the jail for minor offenses. She had created programs to keep them from going to jail and prison because that is America's number one major economic system by putting black folks in prison. As you know, the 13th Amendment, for the most part, says that, you know, when you go to jail, you are considered a slave. And as a result of that, she was not sending those young black kids to prison, and that upset the status quo. But the main thing upset the status quo was the fact that no one was above the law, and if you violate the law, then she was going to prosecute you and make sure you were held accountable. So the key thing that upset the white folks in Missouri was the fact that she was able to have a governor removed for misconduct and violating the law. And as a result of that, the whites did not like that. So therefore, they threatened her life. She had no one to turn to assist her or protect her. And that within itself created more hate and people realizing that they can do anything they want to the black folks in Missouri. But the truth is, we lost a public prosecutor because of the fact that those white folks felt like they could do a public lynching, and that is, and that's exactly what they did. They hated on her. Those racist white prosecutors, you know, quit on her, and she only had a few people in office working for her. And the day before she was forced to resign, and I say forced to resign, one of her white prosecutors was driving down the highway and a car blew up and caused an accident. And I think that was a straw that broke the camel back. You know what I mean? That's common in the state of Missouri, even after the Ferguson uprising. And hopefully I'm not going off by saying this, but after Ferguson uprising, those couple young people who were involved in the Ferguson uprising, you know, they were burned. You know, they were their cars. They were burned alive, and I wouldn't say burned alive, but they were burned up in the car they were driving on the highway. And also, there's another incident where a black person was lynched. So, you know, those type of things, Reverend Pinkney, are things where they put fear in black folks, and a lot of times folks don't want to get involved. But to make a long story short, back to what you asked me, Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner it was a public lynching by the governor and an unelected attorney general. And believe it or not, our governor only has a 12th grade education, and that within itself says a lot about the state of Missouri. And you know what?
The sad part was,
you know, during this process when they came together to hold a hearing and things like that, and announced the new circuit attorney taking her place, the same black pastors that I saw supposedly representing Kim Gardner, they met with the governor behind closed doors in a government building, and I called them all out. But I was there by myself. The rest of the so-called coalition was nowhere to be found. So you have to question sometimes the black organizations and coalitions that are working, claim they're working on behalf of the people, because, you know, if you're about the people, you're going to find some way to take action or either at least call people out.
Absolutely. And one thing I learned about these pastors and stuff that is for, they're the ones that lead these people, and they're leading them into the lake to be drowned and killed. If I don't see a pastor that's out here that collecting tithes and offerings, and you not out here in the streets with your people, I got a problem with that. People say, "Well, go get the pastor." No, you go get them, because if you go get them, you're not going to get nothing done. Nothing. You know, nothing. I remember years ago, this pastor told me, "You shouldn't be fighting with your Whirlpool." I said, "Well, the fight is on." I told him, I said, "The fight is on, whether you like it or not." And that means you telling me you line up on the other side. You see, I don't give a hoot about these pastors. They're all going to hell, you ask me. You know, if they don't get this thing right, they're going to hell. And I believe in that, Doc. I believe that it's going to take people like you to get this thing right, because I know you're willing to make the sacrifice. You see, you got to be willing to make the sacrifice in order to get some kind of changes around you. If you can't take it, you're not going to get it. If they don't think for a moment that you can take it, you're not going to get it. It's just that simple. And then black folks is not going to line up with you. They'd rather line up with the white folks to be against you, and then they think they're doing something. "Oh, he liked me. So-and-so liked me." You know, you hear them say it all the time. But it goes on and on. We got to figure out a way how we can help you, Doc. We got to figure out a way how we can help Kim. We got to figure out how we can do these things. Talk to me. Tell me what you need us to know.
Well, like I said, we got to create a system. We got to create our own solution. And one way is to stop, as I mentioned earlier, stop identifying yourself as a progressive, as a liberal, as a conservative. And only deal with people who are conscious. And that's, I don't care if you're black or white, people that are willing to work with you and promote awareness and invest in your community to make it better. That is one solution, Reverend Pingan, that is going to make a difference. And all white folks are not devils, because you got some black folks who are devils mm-hmm. also. So it's important
that we identify
people who are about making this a better country, about improving conditions not only in their community, but also helping the people who they know who have experienced injustice in this country. Do we have some? Yes. I could give you, I don't know how many white folks who influenced my life. One was my coach, and he's 90-some years old. He taught me how to fight and how to win, even as a basketball player. Another one was another person was my history professor, who was a white woman. You know, she would not give me an A in my class. I mean, I could do all A work in the classroom, but unless I got out and made history and changed something to make my community better or made things better for black folk, I would not get an A. And that's the white woman, you know, for the most part, played that role in my life in college. And then after that, another white guy I met, you know, like I say, conscious, he put $1 million on the table. And he said, Brother Tucker, you're a man of action. He said, you can get as many students you can to come to this university, and I will pay for their tuition. I'll make sure they get a job, tutors, and everything. And that's an example of people, white people, who have influenced my life and had a great impact in my life, and that's an example of conscious people. Conscious people, Reverend Pingley, you judge them and say, by their fruit, you should know them, and you judge them by their action, not by their words.
Yeah.
And the same thing with black folks. You judge them by their action.
There you go. I agree with you 100%. And even today, you know, I have some tremendous white folks that have joined me and really, really helped me in all kind of levels, you know, all kind of levels. I mean, you know, every lawyer that I have is white, you know. And the good news is they're my friends. They're not just my lawyers, you know. I consider them to be friends, and they went beyond the call of duty for me. I mean, they have fought for me. They have, you know, and the thing is, they actually, I think, really like me. You know, sometimes I don't even like myself, but they like me. You know, so that to me is a treasure chest. You know, but I just want to make sure that we start doing things differently to educate our people so we can start educating our children so they don't have to go through the same mess that we went through. It looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. The reason why it's going to get worse,
you know,
go ahead.
It's going to get worse before it get better. So we're going to have to go out and do some things to make some change. Hey, some of us going to have to make the supreme sacrifice, you see, to get this thing right. Because we got too many people who want it to be about them. It's not about you. I don't care what it is. It's not about you. It's about the future of our children. And we need to stop this madness. And let me say this, Bob. I'm going to let you finish up. We got this sexual predator in our community. White folks know he's a predator, and they cling to him. We got this girl, Ayana. She hang out with this white predator. She know he's a sex offender, yet she still mess around with this guy. Not as sexually, but, you know, she be with him. And knowing, see, we have to show folks who we are, because they think that they can do things to us and get away with it, and we accept it. Normally, we accept whatever they do. So that's unfortunate. All right, go ahead. You got about 5 minutes to say whatever you want. I want to bring in Belinda.
Reverend Pinkney, I think it's important to understand that, you know, we have so many things happening during the month of June. It's Black Music Month, Black Jazz Month, International Silka Day, NFL Day on the 19th of June. And also it is Juneteenth. And I think, Reverend Pinkney, this is a time, National Caribbean Heritage Month, this is a time when African Americans can identify the friends of the Black community. Anything you're doing in the community, if you spend your money there, those institutions should be giving back and supporting activities to promote our history and culture, because they made it a holiday and they actually made it for themselves because it's commercial. I mean, they're going to make most of the money with the hotels and the travel and gas and everything else, you know. But it's time for conscious Black people to wake up and say, no, it's not going down this way. We must demand that corporate America, we must demand that these businesses we spend our money with invest in the community we live in and country we live in during the month of June, since they claim that we were free on June 19, 1865, which is not true, because only the slaves and rebellious states were free on June 19, 1865, supposedly in Texas, but that didn't happen either, because many of them kept their slaves. But, you know, it did not apply to the Union states. For example, Kentucky or the border state and Delaware, you know, was a Union state. And all those states were allowed to keep their slaves. So it's important for us to know our history. It's important for us to demand that, you know, we use this month, and should be every month and every day, since they want to make it a holiday, to reinvest, for them to reinvest in our community. And it's up to us to educate our people about what this must mean in terms of Juneteenth.
Amen.
And National Caribbean Heritage Month. And I say National Caribbean Heritage Month because, you know, for every 10 slaves came to the United States, our families were divided. So probably only two came here, and the other eight went to South American Caribbean. So now is the time for us to say, you know, we are one, and we are all Black, if you from the Caribbean and the South America. And so it's a wake up time,
and we, you know, all we can do is keep educating them. That's all we can do. We can't do nothing else. Only thing we can do is just keep educating, and then give them the information. You see, and what they do with that information, we have no control over it. You see, but if we give it to them, they can't say they didn't know. And I think that's the biggest thing that we can say, and that's where I'm going. I want to say this, Red, Dr. Tucker. Oh, it's an honor, my brother. And listen, we're going to be in touch, and we're going to start maybe putting a plan together and kind of like recruit other organizations that are willing to take over. That's a problem, too, because when you get other organizations, most of the time, most of them have their own agenda, and then they try to disrupt your agenda. That's why you have to make sure you're on point with what you're doing. On that note, Doc, I got to let you go. And listen, let's talk soon.
All right, take care, Reverend Pinkney. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's an honor, my brother. It's an honor. Thank you, my brother. My brother, Dr. Tucker, the one and only, better known as Red, the man of the moment. And let me bring in my good friend, the one and only, Belinda Parker Brown. She's not with us right now, but I'll bring in my good friend Doris, because I know Doris got something to say. And we'll take it from there. Doris, are you there? Doris, are you there? Let me go to Annette. Friend Annette, are you there? Talk to me.
Well, you know I'm in the house blowing the whistle. How you doing, Reverend Pinkney?
I'm doing great.
Okay, all right. Yes, that was so dynamic, and I was listening to the previous caller, and I totally agree with him. And that's exactly what we've been trying to do, the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, as, is to have a system that we have anything that it is that we need, anything that we want. We have a business or someone who's in business that we're networking with, and they are supporting our causes. And, again, as the McDonald's Monday, the Ticket Tuesdays, the Walmart Wednesdays, the Thirsty Thursdays, and the Foreign Fridays, is a way for us to organize collectively, no matter what town you are in, when we can be able to work and have our agenda, and, of course, making sure that these politicians are putting our agenda on the table. We will be filing with this debt ceiling bill that just passed through. We're going to be filing a lien against the United States government and telling them you have to pay us first. This is what is the problem. We're having all of these other different ethnic groups being represented in Ukraine, and these are not people who have worked or put money into the system or the taxes. These are people who are, again, getting our money, and we're not getting our own money. So we're going to have to stop this madness. I totally 1,000% agree. I thank you so much for this platform. It is an opportunity for people. Again, every single church, every single HBCU, every single black person, black farmers, veterans, they need to be tuned into your show every week with pen and paper and taking notes. And we are actually having where we can call in, be able to listen to what the assignments are, because each week we need to have an assignment. When we speak this week, we should be working on something all week long, and then next Sunday we have a new assignment, and that's how we're going to be able to move our people forward. And I just want to say to Reverend Pigney, just like you were saying, my family have been targeted, and my cases are for domestic terrorism, and almost every black person in this country have been terrorized by the corporation of the United States. I just want to elaborate on what you said about the fathers raising the sons. I think the fathers need to raise the daughters. It is the father's responsibility to lead his family to Christ. And as all of my service and contributions and volunteer work, I saw how, again, the woman can, be quiet, sit down. And then the father, he just have to just show up, or they know that he's coming, and you can see order being restored. So women need to be raised by men too. That will make them understand a man role is. And he is the first love for his daughter, and it's nothing like a dad and a daughter's love. And she's going to understand what the standard is when she has a father who's very involved in her life. So I want to commend my husband for being a stand-up man, veteran, serving our country. I want to stand up and speak up for the leadership, the role model, the hard work, dedication, and being that man in my children's life. So it makes the woman feel extremely good when she has chosen, made the choice of who her children's father will be and what kind of person and character he has. So I just wanted to chime in on that. I agree with you. I think the father should be raising the daughters and the sons.
Yeah.
It's a proven fact that when black men are in the classroom, how they – The children test scores go up and everything. So, again, these are some things that are definitely documented.
Yeah, for sure. Here's what is important. A lot of that people don't realize this. You know, you need both. You need the mother and
the
father.
See,
you
definitely do.
You can't have one, you know, and even though, let's say your son, he went on to go to college and graduate and stuff like that. But there's still some certain things that he's missing. That daughter, when she don't have that mother, she goes on and go to college. There's still some certain things that she, and what we want to do, we want to make our people whole. And I think the biggest thing that we got to understand, this is a system that's designed to destroy us. It's designed
it
right there. They're bringing in some new folks right now, you know, and their plan is, like here, like in Chicago, they're providing places for them to stay. But what about all the homeless people that live
exactly.
in Chicago? Chicago got more homeless people than anywhere else other than California in the world. And yet you never thought for a moment to provide in the wintertime. They didn't go out of their way to make sure the people that were living on the street had a place. Now these people come in, and they're going to find a place, $51 million in Chicago for 30 days.
Wow.
I made the problem with them. I got a problem
so
with
do
that.
I.
You
so
know,
do
I got a problem
so
with
do.
Them. And they act like they're doing something. You know, I said, man, go somewhere and sit down, man. And some of this stuff is just nonsense. They use the media to help the story.
Exactly.
Well, look, I got a big election coming up, and I
yes.
want to make sure that my listeners be ready for that election. It's coming up in August. We got to be ready. You got to go to the polls. I know how you is, black folks. You don't want to go to the polls. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. And you want to complain. So we're not going to have you out here complaining. You're going to go to the polls or you're not going to go. That's what you're going to do. Then we got to remove the mayor from office at all costs, you see. And we got to
That's
make sure
right.
we're doing what we're supposed to do. If we don't get out here and do what we're supposed to, we can't be out here complaining about nothing. And we complain about everything that don't really mean a whole lot to nobody. You know, we'll do that in a minute. But this is what we got to do. To the polls in August. Do what you got to do. Then in November is the big election where we got to get rid of this mayor. And I know that the people here don't have the really resources because he's going to be backed by Whirlpool Corporation. He's going to be backed. The system is going to support him. But because they know that he's evil and he's wicked. He's one of them. But they know
exactly.
all the things he has done to this community. He has done so much of this, so much damage to this community that people don't even understand. And what we got to do, make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. Anytime you tell
totally
someone, right. someone who don't support you and your children, you women, you men, don't support, you don't need him around. And he got to be removed. And I want to say this. I understand that, you know, that we're at 99% of all the pipes being removed, and basically because of the our work. It ain't the government working, ain't nothing. It's our work. We're the one who did that. We're the one forced them to do stuff. A black man forced them to do stuff that they would have never, ever, ever done.
Exactly.
And I would classify
yes.
them even as so far as say they are murderers of the health that they had destroyed, the kidney disease, the liver disease, the heart
mm-hmm.
disease, the brain for
mm-hmm.
children. And yet still they trying to take a victory lap on something that they done killed all of our half the people. We don't
mm-hmm.
even know how much damage. We don't even have a clue how much damage that has been done to this community. And we don't, and black folks
true.
Don't care. They so busy listening to them folks. They was even still willing to drink the water, even though they knew the water was bad.
Exactly.
Was,
you know, I
yeah,
lived in Sacramento.
So white folks told them, don't drink the water because of abundance of caution, not that the water was bad. They told them
mm.
that, and they know that they don't, you know, just tell the truth. The water is
right.
bad. Don't drink the water. It's going to affect you, your children, and everybody else. So we
and
have to
in it and cook in it, too.
There you go. And I tell you this. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's build a future for our children. And let's start today. Let's not wait until tomorrow. We got to start today.
We're asking everybody to please go on Blow the Whistle on your Facebook. Please go on Blow the Whistle because we do need to be blowing the whistle and having – everybody to be on one accord, and you're so right about and I'm going to tell you, I was in San Diego, California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Georgia, Alabama, and all the water is bad. It is Sacramento, California. That's why I left Sacramento, because of the water.
I need that advice right now. But listen, we have just about out of time. Tomorrow,
okay.
1 o'clock. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, same number, call in, let's talk, let's make it happen, let's do what we need to do.